Now, our third and final point is going to be from Philippians 4 and verse 9, as was mentioned moments ago. And so it says, "And the God of peace will be with you." We all need peace. We all want to have peace of mind, because sometimes this world can get to us with the cares of it. I'm reminded that the Bible would say in 1 Peter 5, starting at verse 6, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." Why? For he cares for you. He cares for every single one of us. Now, if y'all could please turn with me to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39, because here we're going to be learning about some of the peace that we can have. So in Genesis chapter 39, we're going to be taking note of a few verses, the first of which is going to be verse 2. It says, The Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful, and he was a successful man, and was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. Verse 3, "And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand." Now, if y'all could please jump with me down to verse 21. And in verse 21, the Bible reads, "But the Lord was with Joseph, and showed him mercy, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison." Now, if y'all could please skip one verse with me. And let's go to verse 23. It says, "The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper." Did we notice anything in these four verses that were similar? Well, of course, the Lord was with Joseph. And the same is true for us. The Lord can be with us. We can have the peace that passes all understanding. And so the Hebrews writer would write in Hebrews 13, starting at verse 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Why? For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? There's the confidence that we have. There's the peace that we have, knowing that God is there with us. And so now, if we'll return back to our text, to Philippians chapter 4, we find a very precious section of Scripture, starting at Philippians 4 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I would say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand." He's very close. "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," now watch this, "with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." So in verse 7, we read about the peace of God. And then in verse 9, we learn about the God of peace. And, well, we know that only if you're a Christian, you can have that peace. Others who are outside of the Lord, I have to tell you, you don't have peace with God. And the Bible clearly says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 9. It says, "Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." Again, that's talking about Christians. But now the opposite, those who aren't in Christ, those who are not Christian, the wrath of God abides on them now. And so we want all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. We want all men to have peace with God, because I'm reminded that in Philippians chapter 2, we learn that God has also highly exalted Jesus and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that at the name of Jesus every tongue should confess And that at the name of Jesus, let me go there real quick. It says, and that at the name of Jesus, every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And we know that according to Acts 24 and verse 15, that, well, there's going to be a resurrection, both of the just and of the unjust. And so we want to make sure that our lives are prepared to meet Him now, not then when there's no time to repent. We have time now. And so I would like to extend the invitation by saying that if there's any here who have not obeyed the gospel, and if you have to think about how have I obeyed the gospel, well, then, my friend, you haven't. And, well, we're not going to leave you there. We're going to give you a hope. We're going to sit down with you. If you want to have a study, we'll study the Word of God with you. And we won't tell you what we think you need to do to be saved. We'll point you right to the source itself, right to God's holy and inspired Word. Now, I asked my brother Victor before the class had started, how many verses are you going to be singing in the invitation song? And he said two. Now, you may be asking why I'm bringing this up. Well, because when we think about it, that's two more verses than we're going to get in the day of judgment. And so, while you have the opportunity now, don't wait till tomorrow. Don't you come forward. We would love to sit down and study the Word of God with you. And, well, there may be some here in our number that are Christians. You have obeyed the gospel, but your thoughts, your actions, they haven't been what they should be. They haven't been all that they can be. Well, we want to make sure that we're building everyone up here. We want to be the best that we can. We want to see everybody's full potential be met, nothing lacking. We want to strive for that. And so, why don't you come forward as we stand together and sing the invitation.